KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy sky here in Atlantic, 72 degrees. We look for it to be partly cloudy today, a high of 98. That would break the old record of 95 set back in 1895 if we reached that temperature. In the news this morning, running down the list of Memorial Day services in case you missed them during our Heartbeat Today program. This list is also available on the Daily Diary page at KJAN.com. Atlantic Memorial Day services will be held today at 10 o'clock in the Field of Glory at the Atlantic Cemetery. A program will also be held at 2 o'clock at the Allen House. You can hear the Atlantic Memorial Day services here on KJAN. Griswold Memorial Day services will begin at 10:30 at the Griswold Cemetery Circle of Flags. Lunch following at the Griswold Community Building will be served by the Legion Auxiliary. Their menu includes pulled pork sandwiches, brats, homemade salads, and desserts for your free will donation. Anita Memorial Day services will be held at 10:30 at the Anita Evergreen Cemetery. The service will be given at the Colonial Manor Nursing Home at 9:30 this morning. Also, Adair Memorial Day services will be held at 10 a.m. at the Grave of the Unknown Soldier at Sunnyside Cemetery in Adair. Members of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, Post 8877 and Auxiliary, the American Legion, VFW Firing Squad, and Color Guard, along with Boy Scouts and others who are to meet at the cemetery at 9:30. You can join the Lewistown and Country Boosters and the Pancake Man today for a breakfast of pancakes and sausage, juice, and coffee. That's underway from now until 10:30 at the Lewis Community Building for your free will donation. The Exira Lions Memorial Day breakfast will be held at the Lions Community Center in Exira from now until 1 o'clock this afternoon. They'll be serving waffles, sausage, biscuits, and gravy, French toast, juice, and coffee for your free will donation. Also, they will be serving lunch from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. with grilled chicken sandwich and chips and drink for $6. In Audubon, the Memorial Day service will be held beginning at 10:30 at the Arlington Cemetery, and the Grant Community Preservationists, or GCP, will hold an 11 a.m. service to honor lost veterans at the Grant Cemetery. The service will include music, readings, and an honor roll. Small individual flags will be available for families of veterans to place on their graves, and the GCP will be responsible for collecting them after the holiday. Following that ceremony at 11 o'clock, the Grant United Methodist Church will hold its Memorial Day dinner from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. for a free will offering. The menu includes sloppy joe or ham sandwich, baked beans, assorted salads, pies, desserts, and coffee, tea, or lemonade. And all the money raised by the dinner supports the Grant United Methodist Church women and their work for mission projects and the Grant Church. And then again, there's a Jim Wymore's Music Jam in the Park in Grant from 2 until 6 p.m. today. Again, more information on that and all the other activities are available on the Daily Diary page at KJAN.com. Well, a program pertaining to human trafficking will be held this coming Sunday, June the 3rd, in Villisca. The Southwest District United Methodist Women and Villisca UM Church are hosting the program, which runs from 2:30 until 4:30 p.m. Sunday at the Villisca United Methodist Church. Paul Yates, Executive Director, and Megan Johnson, Street Outreach Director of I've Got a Name in Lincoln, Nebraska, will share their knowledge of sex trafficking and how we can recognize it and help. Their program will help attendees to find out what sex trafficking is, how it begins, and where it may exist, understand that sex trafficking exists in our communities throughout Iowa and Nebraska, and discover how you can make a difference in the lives of those who are vulnerable or to who suffer through sex slavery. I've Got a Name stands against sex trafficking through generating awareness, advocating, and financial support of those who fight injustice within our communities. The organization uses a faith-based approach to empower those who rescue, restore, and protect those who cannot protect themselves. That program on Sunday is open to the public and free of charge. Everyone's welcome to attend and learn more about this growing problem across the country. With summer heat already ratcheting up in Iowa, organizations in the state are preparing to help those keep low-income families cool. In Des Moines, Impact Community Action Partnership and the Des Moines Fire Department are collecting new fans to distribute to low-income families within the city who do not have working fans or air conditioning in their homes. Donations of new fans or new window air conditioners are accepted at city fire stations during normal business hours. In Cedar Rapids, the Salvation Army will begin taking phone calls tomorrow to schedule an appointment to receive a box fan. Those seeking a fan must not have received one from the Salvation Army in the past and must show an Iowa-issued ID. And in that community, there is a limit of one fan per household. Elsewhere in the news, the U.S. Department of Agriculture is recalling more than 228,000 pounds of Spam and another product made by Minnesota-based Hormel after four consumers complained about metal objects in the food. The USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service says the canned chicken and pork in question was produced in February at the company's plant in Fremont, Nebraska. The agency says minor oral injuries have been reported. The recall covers 12-ounce metal cans containing Spam Classic with a best buy date of February 2021. Those products were shipped throughout the U.S. You can see the production codes, and there are several of them, under this same story on the news page at KJAN.com. The recall also includes 12-ounce metal cans of Hormel Foods Black Label Luncheon Loaf with a best buy date of February 2021. Those products were shipped only to Guam. The Atlanta Community School District's Board of Education will hold a special meeting tomorrow morning at 7:30 in the Schuler Elementary School Media Center. The board will hold a closed session per Iowa code to discuss a personnel matter, followed by action in an open session on the 2018-19 coaches and sponsors continuing contracts. U.S. Senator Joni Ernst, a Republican from Iowa, has announced that she will hold a town hall meeting in Taylor County on Wednesday as part of her 99-county tour to hear from constituents in the area about the issues most important to them. The town meeting, which takes place at 11:15 a.m. at the Lenox Community Center, is open to the public. With 7 days remaining until the June 5th primary, the contest among five Democratic candidates for governor has intensified. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
The campaign was scrambled last week when State Senator Nate Bolton withdrew from the race after the Des Moines Register published accusations from three women who say Bolton touched them inappropriately. Candidate Fred Hubbell, a Des Moines businessman, was the perceived frontrunner in the race before Bolton's exit. Hubbell's urging Democrats to focus on the day after the primary and which candidate has the skills to unify the party.
The first goal is to win the general election and get to work taking on Governor Reynolds.
The third and final televised forum for the Democratic gubernatorial candidates is this Wednesday, the 30th. Candidate John Norris, a top aide to former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack, says with five rather than six candidates on stage, they may have time to go a little deeper into key issues.
I certainly hope it's a debate. Voters need to understand there are some differences, and we look forward to pointing those out and let the voters decide how they want to go.
Candidate Kathy Glosson, a nurse and union organizer, says her campaign hasn't made any major changes to adjust to Bolton's absence.
We've always been a campaign that wanted to be bold and broad, and we're just going to continue down that path.
Candidate Andy McGuire, a physician, has refocused on her main pitch to Democrats.
It might be good to have a woman on the ticket. I think it's a time for us in our party to have a woman nominee.
Candidate Ross Wilburn, a former Iowa City mayor, says his main message, especially to Bolton's supporters, is to stay engaged.
The issues are the same. Got to get Democratic governor and legislature in there. So get out and vote for one of us, and let's keep the momentum going through the fall.
I'm O.K. Henderson.
Elsewhere in the news, a group that keeps an eye on eagle population in Iowa says two eaglets at a nest in Decorah have died. Television station KCRG reports that a pathogen carried by black flies coupled with recent high heat and humidity led to the baby birds' deaths. The Raptor Resource Project, a nonprofit organization that runs the popular webcam that's trained on the nest, said the birds were hatched on May 18th and 20th, which is considered late for eagles. Faced with an increasing shortage of workers, Idaho dairies are investing in robotic milkers. John Pates, regional manager that is of Lele North America, which is headquartered in Pella, says the interest in robotic milking in Idaho is growing quite rapidly. The company has robots installed at three Idaho dairies now, with two more scheduled to come online in July and two more scheduled for later in the year or early next. In robotic milking, the cow decides when she wants to be milked and goes to the robotic milker. While she enjoys a snack such as a high-energy pellet, a laser-controlled device finds her teats, cleans them, and dries them, and then attaches the milk and milks. When she's done, the robot detaches, and the cow wanders off, all without human intervention. Bates says larger dairies, where they're employing 20 people, can see a big benefit initially. He says, we're not in the business of displacing labor, but you can do the same job with less labor. Idaho has been behind the curve in implementing robotic milking, partly because Lele, one of the major vendors, has been migrating its marketing across the country after starting in Europe and then heading to Canada and the East Coast. Bates says, we just started looking at the Western region in the last 5 or 6 years, and we don't want our infantry to outrun our lines of support. Across the U.S., robots are now being used in 5% or fewer of the dairies, but Bates says it's accelerating. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.